All right. Let's take our Bibles this evening and go to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. We'll be, there's an option now on our website that we'll be putting all my sermon notes on. So, I'm not sure if they'll be up this week, but very soon, this message from tonight, my sermon notes will be on our website, and then Sunday, my sermons will be on the website. If you want a copy of my notes, just talk to me, and I'll get them to you. But with the new design of our website, we were able to put our notes right on the website, so we'll do that. Genesis chapter number 2, I want to speak on the subject of one team. One great team, a dad and a mom. One great team, a dad and a mom. Genesis chapter 2 tells us this as we read in verse 21. The Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go through this series about how to build godly homes, may we come together in a unity from the Word of God in how to develop from a biblical principle aspects and principles to be brought into our everyday life of how we're to act in accordance to your Word so that we might see your power in our lives as we try to raise the next generation to be Christ-honoring and glorifying to you. May we understand the importance of the husband and wife unit in raising children and how important it is for us to work as a team together as we come to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. So oneness in a child's life is very important. And of course, we talked 2 weeks ago about God's goals for the family, and that's to reproduce images throughout the world, God's images, to help us show Christ's love to the church, to reproduce faith-loving, faith-exemplifying children to go out into this world. And as we study and as we look, we saw that both teaching and what is taught and what is caught is very important in the family. And we saw how we deal with one another is how we're going to teach our children. And our actions many times speak louder than words. We looked at each of our different biblical positions and how the wife's submission to her husband will teach the children how to submit to authority. How the husband's unconditional love to the wife shows how we should love people around us. The oneness in the marriage shows a child his oneness to Christ and how they're to obey and to follow Christ, and how all of this comes together in a goal of a family to both catch and or taught and caught, to be both teach our children and also for them to catch it from our example. Many years ago when I first came here, I believe it was 9 years ago, we started a class called Growing Kids God's Way. And one of the things that we learned in that class is the importance for children to see the father and mother spend quality time together. And what they would teach is that when you get home, they called it couch time, you would sit down for the first 15 minutes after you came home from work. The father would sit down with the mother, and the children would have to be on their own. The father and mother obviously would watch the children if they were younger, but the children would be playing on their own, and before the children spent any time with the father before he got home, mom would sit down and spend time with the dad in front of the children so that they could see the importance of the husband-wife relationship. They could see that mom and dad were on the same team. And many times they would give that advice to people when their children started to have night terrors or wake up in the middle of the night. And many times the parent didn't understand that their relationship was causing some type of confusion within the child's life, that was causing extra stress on that child's life, that was causing the security that he had to be diminished because he didn't feel as if mom and dad loved each other. It's important that we show love to our children, obviously as parents, but the most important person within the home that must set the example of showing time and quality time with one another is the husband and wife. And the kids have to see that so their security of the home is intact. So oneness concerning the married couple is foundational of a godly family. To threaten the oneness in marriage is to threaten the very fiber of the security of the family. A child who sees their parents at friction with one another will be an insecure child. That child will not have security. In Paul and Linda Bucknell's book, Principles of Practicing a Biblical Parenting, it's Raising Godly Children, they say, this is about the oneness in marriage and how it affects the child. The parent's life is the child's world. Anytime the husband and wife start arguing, it is like tectonic plates rubbing against each other in the minor child's world. An emotional earthquake happens, fear arises. Most small children know of other families who have experienced divorce in today's world. They link their parents' arguments with the possibility of divorce. So, like minor earth tremors, they sense something big is happening deep down that threatens their secure world. After all, children's security does not come from the home of the world, but from their parents' agreement to watch over them. They fear all that they love and care about will be gone. They do not know what to do when deserted and left on their own. The child who does not see the parents' commitment to oneness can unconsciously develop certain odd behaviors. To keep his parents from destroying his world. For the child, everything is at stake. They are willing to endure rather embarrassing situations like wetting the bed, screaming, stealing, etc. to keep their parents together. They subconsciously think that if the parents focus on their own needs, even though it is often extreme, they will receive more attention from their parents. Parents rarely connect their lack of oneness with the child's odd behavior. The solution in these cases is not to change the child, but the parents themselves. The parents can make a big difference by making a few changes toward having a harmonious home. So, when your children are acting up like all children do, it may be the first thing that we should look at is our relationships with our spouses. Now, that's not always the case. Many children have their own reasons for acting up. But I think many times we need to look to our relationship as husband and wife as means for insecurity in our children's lives. Not every case, but some cases. So, all I want to do today is I want to talk about three ways to model oneness. Three ways to model oneness within your home. Between husband and wife. We looked at marriage as being complementary. All right. We each play a role within our home biblically. The husband plays the role of a leader according to Ephesians chapter 5. A loving, unconditional love is to be displayed to his wife. Humble submission is to be given from the wife to the husband. And then very importantly, we're to understand the oneness that God created in marriage between two individuals becoming one. So for the husband to abuse his leadership and make it a dictatorial leader instead of a leading shepherd who is pointing his family to righteousness, who's pointing his family towards God, when he does that, he harms his own body. And we all know that every man loves to take care of his own body, all right? So it doesn't make sense for us to be at war with one another, but to work according to biblical principles. The husband and wife are, if the husband and wife are not to compete with one another, but should instead model oneness within the home. I've never been around a couple that competes against each other publicly. That's very uncomfortable for you. If you've ever been around two individuals that are married and they think they're very smart, and then they get into wild discussions about how the other one is wrong in front of you and how they put down the other one instead of lifting them up, what does that feel like? We've all been guilty in one way or another of being in a circumstance where we're talking to other people and we tell an embarrassing story about our spouse that does not put them in a good light. When we do that, what we're doing is we're fighting ourselves. We're competing against ourselves. We're competing against God's mode to build a home that has the aroma, that has the atmosphere of God's image within it. So opportunities for oneness, first of all, in conversation and how we talk to one another. Stop a session. And all a session is vying for power, trying to gain control. Stop trying to gain control. When you got married, it was about we, not me. And when a child sees a selfish parent, that rocks his world. His parents are his world. And when he sees them vying or trying to gain control over the other one, that becomes a huge burden to a child. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12, 9 through 12. What's the way that parents, married couples, can vie for power and control by taking down another parent? Well, the first way is accusations. Accusations, or the spirit of accusation. In Revelation chapter 12, we read about Satan and being cast out of heaven because of his rebellion against God. And in verse 9, we read, "And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives unto death. Therefore rejoice in heaven, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." So, let me stop here. That does not mean, what I am not preaching is that you just don't take care of problems within your home. Of course, a husband and wife discuss problems in their home. That's obvious. But how do we discuss problems in our home? Let's say that the wife or the husband, vice versa, is taking care of the finances within the home, and you sit down and you discuss the finances, and some payment comes up on the card, and then you go to your spouse with accusing thing. You knew what type of finances we had, and yet you spent this money on this. That's an accusing spirit. Rather, you would say, honey, you know our financial situation right now. We can work together as a team on fixing this financial situation, right? So when we come to each other with this accusing spirit of, I knew this was you. I knew that you'd do this. I knew that you'd leave the light on. I knew that you'd forget. I knew that you'd do this, whatever weakness you have, because guess what? You married somebody like you. They're weak. So to have an accusation type of spirit within your home, you know what that does to the atmosphere of your home? It brings in insecurity. It brings in doubt that mommy and daddy really love each other and really are in it to help one another. Let's go to Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 2. Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 2. Let's go to verse number 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Of course, this means mankind. Including in mankind is womankind. And so what is this talking about? It's talking about a spirit in Titus chapter 3 verse 2 that can only think evil all the time and bring accusation on everybody and everything. It is not fun to be around people that can see only the bad in everything and how everything can go wrong, but has no wisdom in protecting you so you don't enter into... How many have met a person that can see all the problems but can't tell you any way to fix the problems? So as a father, if I'm dealing with a situation with my wife, by the way, you shouldn't be dealing with situations with your spouse in front of the children, okay? You should save that. There shouldn't be arguments in front of your children. There shouldn't be discussions in front of your children when you're in disagreement about something. But when you have those times of disagreement with one another, if there is an accusation type of spirit and there's always a speaking evil of your spouse, or there's always this thought within your mind that your spouse is up to no good and the trust is broken, that makes for a terrible marriage. And that makes for a terrible home. And that home doesn't look good at all. So let's think about a few things on this point. How do you respond when your spouse becomes selfish and focused on the inward? Do you accuse them? Do you come with a type of spirit that is less than loving and kind and gentle? So children, guess what they can do? Children can pick up on accusing spirit within the conversations of your home. They know when mom and dad aren't doing good. And that really hurts their world. And they start acting out. And they start doing what's wrong. Now, a child will act out all by himself or herself. We as parents don't need to help that process. Okay? But sometimes we do. Many times we help the process of acting out by the way we treat one another. Another way that we can communicate opportunities of oneness is the husband's unconditional love to his wife. The husband should show love to the wife unconditionally. Children can pick up on that. It's easy for us to love our wives in the good times, isn't it, men? Yeah, when she makes you a great meal, it's really easy. My wife is a really excellent cook, but she's been trying healthier ways of cooking. And it's not her fault, but some of the meals are kind of duds. I don't know how else to say it, but she's trying to cook healthy. We're trying to learn how to eat differently. So I kindly say, let's pick another meal. Let's put this one on the shelf because I really don't like this. But, I mean, when she's making me kilkia, when she's making me sweetbuck, when she's making me all the things that'll give me a heart attack quickly, man, they're so good. It's so easy to tell her, that was a great meal. When she's giving me zucchini noodles, not so much, you know. But I know it's good for me and I know she loves me. Men, are you saying thank you to your wife? Are you looking for an opportunity to thank your wife no matter what? Do you understand what I mean by that? No matter what, you say thank you to your wife. I learned this one from experience also. When there's a bunch of people over to your house, don't say anything about the food if you don't like it. Just be quiet. Okay? This one time, somebody brought a peach pie from Farm Boys to give to us. I didn't know they brought it. And I told my wife, I never want to see this peach Farm Boy pie on my table again. Unger's makes way better pie. There's way more peaches. And it was the guest that brought the pie. So that was a bad mistake that I made. So thankfully it was a good friend and they just laughed. But I told them afterwards, don't ever buy peach pie from Farm Boys. There's a reason it's $8 and really cheap because they don't put anything in it. 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Seven and eight. 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8. This is how Paul was amongst the Thessalonians. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her child. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. And I preached, my Sunday message was about this for Mother's Day. But husbands, it's not feminine to show your wife gentleness. It's not feminine to try to the best of your ability to listen and learn from her needs. If you do that, you will help your home. Ephesians 5:25. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, you say, well, if the wife is acting like my enemy, am I to give myself to my wife? Can any of you think of a passage from Romans chapter 5 that talks about how Christ gave to himself for us even when we were his enemies? All right. Now, wives, do the best you can not to be the enemy of your husband. That's not a smart move, okay? When you're not living the biblical principles within your life and you're treating your husband less than respectful, you're disobeying God, right? But men, you can still love your wife even when she's your enemy biblically. I've never felt like my wife was my enemy. She's good at not showing that when she's mad at me. She has to have been mad at me a couple times in our marriage, but I'm thankful that I married a lady that doesn't show her anger. She respects even when I'm making foolish decisions. All right? So I'm thankful for that. I know that I've had to make her mad on many occasions with our marriage, but even if she were to treat me disrespectfully, it's still my mission to love her unconditionally, to give her unconditional love. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Now, in most situations, which spouse knows the other spouse better and figures out the other spouse quicker, the husband or the wife? In our relationship, my wife knows way more about me than I know about her in many situations. I've been trying to work on that. You should work on that, men. Know your wives, all right? Live with your wives with knowledge for the sake of your families. All right? Understand that certain decisions that you make, although you can make them, and it's not wrong to make them, affects your wife. For example, giving children sugar before bed, fathers, will affect the sleep of your wife that night. All right? So, live with her according to knowledge. Every once in a while, honey, stay in bed. I'll make breakfast this morning. You've been really working hard. You're tired. You can throw two pieces of toast in the toaster and make some coffee for her, okay? Bring it to her. That's living and understanding as a husband the needs of your wife. And by the way, your children see that. And if they wake up with you, oh, we want to help you make a breakfast for mommy. And then when she gets up and makes breakfast for me on most days, the kids, when they're awake, oh, we want to help you make breakfast for dad. So it's really great to see that. You understand, this is really practical, okay? Sundays I'm going to preach straight how we always preach. This is practical. This is teaching us what a godly family looks like on a practical level. You don't have to use these examples. Husband, if you can't cook, don't worry about it. Do something else that you can do for your wife. Know her needs. Are you going to love your wife on her bad days? And every husband says, my wife doesn't have any bad days. No. No. Are you going to love her on her bad days? Don't ever forget, the wife is good for you, men. The wife is good for you even if you don't think she's good for you. Sometimes, men, tribulation worketh patience. Romans chapter 5. Genesis 2:18 says, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. It's not always good for you to be in yourself, men, because we could live selfishly. It's good to have a wife. So, wives, how do you promote oneness in your home so that your children can have a secure home? Opportunities for the wife to submit. That's a very unpopular subject in today's world, but it's a biblical subject. So we preach it because it's biblical. Not because we think we deserve it, but because God designed it to work that way. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. All right? So your husband has a biblical role to lead role to play in your family. Now, if he's getting into a personal role, that's between you and God. All right? Like, this isn't saying that a husband can say to a wife, you're not allowed to go to church or mention God in my house anymore. A wife has a biblical duty to disobey her husband when those things are brought up. I'm being very clear on this. A wife also has a responsibility, if they're saved, to bring their children to a knowledge of the Lord also. That's a biblical duty you have as a parent. And if you're the only saved parent within that marital relationship, it falls on you, wife, to bring your children to the Lord. So if a wife comes in and asks me, Pastor, my husband says we shouldn't go to church, I say you ought to obey God rather than men. Right? But on the running of the home, sometimes husbands make bad decisions when it comes to running of the home. And you know it as a wife that it's a bad decision. And the kids see you fight your husband tooth and nail and call him all sorts of names that you know aren't right to call him. Are you really going to be that stupid again? Are you going to? Yeah, no. Doesn't help. You don't love me if you make this decision right in front of the kids. Now that's really going to build their confidence in your marriage, isn't it? Be careful and submit, even if he's making a wrong decision. Now in the privacy, you come to him with the right attitude in a prayerful way, respectfully, and say, honey, here are the reasons biblically I think this isn't the wisest decision for our home to make. And if you're married to a godly man, he will say, I didn't ever think about that aspect of this decision. Let me pray about it, and then we'll discuss it in a few nights. Okay? But if he's prayed about it, and he says, we're still going to make this decision, you submit. You don't fight. And when it goes wrong, you don't blow up at them saying, I knew that decision was going to be wrong. I knew that wasn't healthy for our family. And you get all huffy and mad. You're destroying your home when you do that. Just like your husband's destroying the home when he doesn't love you unconditionally, you're destroying the atmosphere of security within your home when you act that way towards each other. None of us are perfect in this. All of us need work in this area. Whether we've been married for a year or 60 years. We all need work in this area. And just because your children are gone and they don't live with you anymore, parents, doesn't mean that you don't still play a role in their lives. It doesn't mean that you can just say, well, the kids are gone, bye. No, your kids still look at your relationship. They still draw concerns if they don't feel that your relationship is up to what the Bible says your relationship should be up to. Are you discouraging your adult children because of the lack of love and the lack of submission within your marital relationship? Philippians 2, 4 through 11 says, let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I'm saying this because we say this verse so much, this section of verse so much in this church, but it's such a powerful section. If we're going to provide stability within our homes, it can't always be about us. We have to take a page from Christ and how he dealt with hard circumstances within his life. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of men, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Christ is Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God humbled himself in Christ. The Father exalted him. All right? You humble yourself in your duties as a wife, and God will exalt you. You humble yourself as a husband in the duties you have within your family, and God will exalt you in due time. John 17 and verse number 4. John 17 and verse number 4. Here, the Bible says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I honored you on this earth. I lifted you up on this earth. I humbly submitted, even though I was equal with you, to the task you had for me on this earth. Husbands are not more important than wives, and wives are not more important than husbands within the family. We are equal, we just play different roles. Just as the Father and the Son played different roles for our salvation, but yet they were equal. Right? In that, remember your roles as husband and wife. Husband, unconditional love. That's what you have to focus on. Not your wife's role. How many of you have ever given a job to a child and you gave a job to another child, and the child, the first child you gave the job to, was so concerned about the other child doing the job that you gave the other child that they never got their job done? Does that sound confusing? If you're a parent, it doesn't. The oldest was supposed to do this, or whatever, the middle, youngest, was supposed to do this, but the youngest, oldest, middle was so focused on making sure that other person obeyed mom and dad that they didn't obey mom and dad. That's how we act sometimes in our marriages, isn't it? Well, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. We get so focused on what they're not doing that we forget to do what we're supposed to do. Be the same mind, be of the same love, be united in the Spirit of God, be of one purpose and a common goal within your marriage. So, the biblical principle of unity within the home is so important for us to establish. Philippians 2, 1 and 2 says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That should be our desires from our homes. That we're of one mind. We're of the same accord. We have the same focus in our love. We have the same unity in spirit with where we're going. I'm talking to Christian parents now. Two mother and father that are saved. Is our homes described as that? Or do we each have our own agenda that we're trying to play out in the home? The saddest thing I see in this culture is parents pitting children against parents. That'll never work. You'll just destroy your children when you do that. So how do we build unity within the home? Develop security, first of all, by ensuring a secure world in the life of our children. Through a secure relationship that we have as husband and wife. Develop moral character. The child learns how to appropriately respond to others humbly, lovingly, and kindly. Through the example of his parents, he gains faith and confidence that he can get along with people even in difficult circumstances. He does not need to get his way to be joyful. The world might be at war, neighbors might hate each other, but when a child sees this oneness in his parents lived out before him in their parents' lives, the child will stand out as a bright light in a very, very dark world. Work on your relationship with each other if you're married for your children's sake. For God first, but also for your responsibility of your children. God established oneness in marriage. A marriage will be only as good as the oneness God established. And it's living out in the word and in action. Disharmony between parents causes terrible problems in children. Harmony benefits them. God commands his word to help parents maintain their marital oneness. How much is the word of God part of your decision-making, parents? How much is the word of God the mediator between your disagreements, husband and wife? I'd have to say, when one in the flesh, what mediates between a husband and wife's disagreements? The word of God or your feelings? Your feelings. You have to submit your feelings to the word of God. And you have to bring the word of God into those stressful times that you're not seeing eye to eye and not having harmony. And then you need to repent and turn to God so that he can bring the harmony back in the home. And when children live in a house that is filled with harmony and oneness, they thrive. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the simplicity of your word. God, help it to rule our lives in every aspect, specifically in the most important aspect of human relationship, and that's between a husband and wife, and how it affects the second most important human relationship, and that is a husband and wife and their children. So God, may we love our neighbors as ourselves. May we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that you might bring great godly lights into this chaotic world, that there may be security in our homes in the midst of the chaos outside our homes. In Jesus' name, amen.